Thank you, team. Now, I am down to 30 minutes. Is it possible? Team Jesus, we are. Now, last couple weeks we've been looking at standing fast. Last week we looked at our last 3 weeks, why, and the command. It's all through Scripture for us to stand fast for Jesus Christ. We looked at the command. We looked at why we need to do it, all the agendas that are pushing and trying to take people down, and that flood of darkness into judgment and sin. The enemy is at work. We need to be standing fast. And we looked at it, there's going to be a cost to standing. Well, last week when I was preaching that sermon, and I was telling you that the agendas, even though we resist them and sometimes they seem to fall back, but the agendas keep rolling, and we have to be aware of that. We can never let our guard down. We can never give up. Last week, we were talking about the LGBTQ agenda. I showed you that song where they were talking about they were going to convert our children. And it was a song directed at Christians. Well, at the very same time I was preaching that sermon, here on the West Coast, on the East Coast, this was happening in New York. Drag queens, including anti-Catholic nuns, marched chanting, "We're coming for your children." At the very moment, folks, I looked it up the time. At the very moment I'm preaching up here about that, warning us that we cannot let our guard down. We cannot stick our head in a hole in the ground. They were saying this. Also, let me show you this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, the rapture of the church, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if it's from us, the Apostle Paul says, as though the day of Christ had come. You see, Paul had taught the Thessalonians about the eschatology, the end times. He taught them about the day of the Lord, the day of Christ, the seven-year tribulation period. But before that, he said he teaches them that the church will be raptured out. Well, between the letter of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, some false teacher had come in and told them that they had missed the rapture and they were in the day of the Lord in the seven-year tribulation. And they were all scared and freaking out, and Paul writes them this letter to calm them down. And he says, don't be shaken, don't be troubled, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, capitalized, the judgment, tribulation period, will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. He says, listen, the Antichrist is not on the scene. And there's got to be a falling away first. What is this falling away? The falling away inside the church. Falling away from the faith. That Christianity will, people will just reject it. Fall away. Those who used to claim it won't claim it any longer. The church will, in the end, be nothing like it was. You see, during this time when Paul wrote this, the church was spreading. It was on the rise. It was taking over the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire tried to resist it and fight it and persecute it. But eventually, the Roman Empire was conquered by the faith. And we know that Europe became what? What was it called? Christendom. Well, the Holy Roman Empire eventually. But it really Europe became the center of Christianity. Missionaries went out from Europe all over the world before the Catholic Church took too much power. But Christians to China, Christians to Africa, Christians coming to settle the new world. Europe was the center. Christendom. But now look at Europe. Churches across Europe repurpose for nightclubs, hotels, as attendance shrinks to stunning lows. Paul said towards the end, there'll be a great falling away in the church. Here it talks about Europe. It also mentions Belgium. And it says that, now this was published June 26th. So that was just last week. Talks about an old survey from 2018 where 83% of Belgians said they were raised Christian. Only 55 still follow the religion. I'm not sure what that means. Why only 10% of Belgians say they attend church services regularly. Some places in Europe it's down to 1%. Overall, if you take Europe, it's 3 to 5% still in church out of the whole continent. In America, we're following foot. About 10% of Americans say they actually believe this from cover to cover and actually attend church. The great falling away has been happening. Why do I say that? Well, the day of the Lord isn't here yet, but it's getting close. But until then, so many people are lost. So many people are deceived. We had a lady on our front doorstep this morning we tried to share the gospel with, but she was so full of darkness and I'll swear, demons. She couldn't hear the truth. And I prayed for her. God loves her. God died for that lady. And she's gonna end up in judgment. It's so hard to see someone there, and they, you can't even share with them. Their mind is so far gone. you can't even share the truth of the gospel and them understand it. You see, folks, as Team Jesus, we need to be really serious about being the church and sharing. As Team Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry. Picture. Go back. You're right. There was a picture I put in there. Do you know what that is? It's a cathedral. Look at the ceiling. It used to be a cathedral for Jesus Christ, and now it is a rock climbing place. Now, Team Jesus, we got to be serious, folks. The last thing I want is rock climbing walls in here. The Bible tells us the church will decrease in the end. The faithful church will have little strength, the Bible describes it, little strength. But they persevere, they hold to the word, they stand for the truth. That is what we must do up until the very end. And try to save, bring the salvation of the gospel to as many as we can. So, Philippians, we're going to finish up this. We're not going to finish it up. I got, I think, two more sermons in this book, but we're closing in. So today I want to quickly, before we head into our rest of our holiday weekend, Philippians there, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2 through 9, and some good advice from Paul. I think we all could learn a good deal here. Now, Philippians 4, 1 is the verse we've been looking at for the last 3 weeks. Therefore, stand fast in the Lord. I think we understand that well. Let's move on to verse 2. I implore Eudia, and I implore Syntyche, I think that's how you pronounce the name, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. Clement, and also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So here's something that we need to learn. There's two ladies, and they're working for the gospel. They're doing a good thing in the church, as we're all supposed to be, bringing our spiritual gifts and our abilities and time into the church ministries. But here there's a disagreement. That happens in churches. We're not perfect, right? We can end up disagreeing. We can end up saying, maybe we should do it this way. Someone says, no, we should do it this way. And there's sometimes a personal clash. Well, let's be very clear. The church is not about us. It's not about our reputations. It's not about getting what we want to do or what we want. So when there's division amongst us, who's more important? My view or the other person's view or Christ's view? Christ's view. So let's work together. We can disagree, but let's work together. Let's not divide. A lot of times when people have division in churches, what do? Instead of working and understanding Christ is more important, the gospel is more important, they get their own reputation, they get their own feathers ruffled up, and they go and look at, they start trying to bring people on their team, their side, against that other person. And then you have division in the church. God says, do not divide my church. Do not even deal, you know, don't even take part in those people who bring division inside the body. We are to work together for the greater good, the greater cause, which is Christ. So when we have division, be humble about it. Go to the person, make sure it doesn't widen into a conflict inside the body. And everyone is supposed to be laboring in the gospel. We talked about Friday at Center Stage, and Trevor gave some really good points and advice on sharing the gospel and witnessing to people. And it's everybody is required to do that. Every one of us. So we all need to be laboring in the gospel. All right, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Remember, we've already seen this word. It means to be full of cheer. It means to have a calm happiness or state of well-being because the Lord is in control. Even when it doesn't look like it, sometimes the Lord is in control. You can always rejoice no matter what goes on in the world or in your life. God sits upon the throne. God is in control. His plan will be fulfilled. What He has promised will happen. We can rejoice. We don't have to be tossed to and fro. We don't have to be, you know, in a storm of life and being knocked all around. We can navigate it in certainty and trust. We can have a calmness to ourselves. It's the complete opposite of anxiety and worry. So rejoice. Always remember God is in control. Don't let anything take that away from you. Philippians 4:5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. All right, the gentleness here, well, we also know gentleness is part of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit has come into you, it is going to produce through the sanctification process, if you surrender to that, if you seek it, the fruit of the Spirit will be produced in you as a believer. And what is that fruit? Joy. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Now, the gentleness here in the Greek is a gentleness of yourself, of being humble, of being mild-mannered. You're not boastful, you're not proud, you're not arrogant, you're humble, you're gentle in spirit. Meekness. And you see, meekness leads to self-control, which is actually the next fruit, self-control. But this gentleness that Paul references here in Philippians 4:5, let your gentleness be known to all men. It's not referring to that gentleness of the Holy Spirit in you. This is a gentleness towards others. It's to show mercy, to forgive, to be welcoming and embracing, even in the face of mistreatment. Now, I know some of you are going through things where you've been hurt. Forgiveness doesn't come easy to the hurt heart. But here, what's most important? Ourselves or the Lord? And we are to show Christ. Showing Christ might be exactly what is needed for someone to believe in the gospel, because they see it played out in you. It might be in your family. It might be at work. It might be school, wherever. Can we be gentle towards others and forgive others, show others kindness and mercy, even if they don't really deserve it? I think God showed us mercy and forgiveness when we didn't deserve it. This is what we are to strive to do. I'm not saying it's easy. But this is what the gentleness Paul is calling us to. Let it be known to all men. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Why do we forgive? Not because the people deserve it. Not because they said they were sorry. We forgive because Christ forgave us. Freely you have received, freely you give. He showed us mercy, let us be merciful. Philippians 4:5, let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Now, what this is saying is not the Lord is at hand, that he's ready to come. Put your hand out. Put your hand out. I can't see everybody's hand. God is there. God is here. What this is saying is God is right there to hold your hand. He's with us. That's what it's saying. It's location here. Not that he's at hand about to come. He's here at your hand. Wherever your hand is, God is there with you. He's all around. He's near. So, He's so near, we don't have to be anxious. Ephesians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Now, it's not easy to live in this life, in this world, and not be anxious. A lot of bad things happen. A lot of hard jobs, bills, money, health, family, children. There's a lot of things to worry about and stress about. But if we always stay focused on who God is, rejoice in the fact that He sits upon the throne, He's at our hand, and He has promised us that He will provide what we need, we can be anxious for nothing. We don't have to worry. Do you know most of the things we worry about never happen anyway? We waste all that time worrying about something that doesn't even happen. Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. You see, if we remain focused on God, instead of looking at all our problems, all the bad things, yes, we see them. Yes, we have to deal with these things, but we keep our eyes focused on God, on who He is. We remember what He has done from the communion table to His promises of returning and everything in between. If we keep focused on Him and how good He is, we can remember and be thankful for everything He has done. And when you live with thankfulness each day, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. If we trust Him, we focus on Him. If we remember to be thankful that our heart is beating today, that we have air conditioning, then God can really work in your life in amazing ways. Because you're open. Remember, we don't have to be anxious for nothing in this world. John 16 says this. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. You will have hard times. But be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. That's why Philippians 4:6, we can be anxious for nothing. We're not going to face anything in this life that is bigger than Christ. We're not going to face anything in this life that will take us away from Jesus Christ. We are His. We're sealed. He's our Heavenly Father. And He's promised to take care of us and meet our needs that we don't even have to worry about tomorrow. And He's promised us a peace in our soul, in our hearts, in our minds that is hard to explain in human terms. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God. When we are thankful, when we are focused on God, no matter what's going on, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's a peace that comes daily. There's a peace that you can have in God. You can be at peace, but there is a peace that God can bestow upon you that goes beyond all understanding. It's a peace that I've only experienced maybe, I know, once in my life. It was in the darkest moment of my life. And I've shared the story with you about the doctors telling me my daughter, Ariel, was not going to live. 2 years old. Darkest moment of my life, and I'm not going to go into the whole story today, but it was something I'd never want to experience again in my life. And the night before the surgery, which they weren't giving us good odds on anyway, and that I'd probably bring my daughter in, and this would be the last time. And the night before, in the darkness, and I'm praying to God, I'm begging God. A peace rolled over me, flooded my mind and my heart. I cannot describe it. But I was able to tell God with 100% integrity, honesty, I trusted Him. And if He wanted to take my daughter to be with Him, I was okay with that. Because I knew she'd be happier in His arms than mine. And I meant it when I said it. I didn't want it to happen, but I was okay. I trusted God. The peace that He gave me, God said, I'm here with you. And it wasn't a peace that, hey, I'm going to fix everything, everything's going to be okay. It wasn't that. It was that God was here with me. He was at my hand. And He knew what I was feeling because He had sacrificed His Son. The peace I cannot describe. But He gave me the strength to deal with it. And by the grace of God, He did perform a miracle. And she's up there right now. Yeah, praise God. And I do praise God. When you trust God, no matter how bad it may be, God's peace, His power, His strength, His promises, His goodness, His love overcomes. Just trust God. And hold on to Him. Be patient. Be anxious for nothing. Be thankful, even in the hard times. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Quickly, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What is true? God. What is noble? God. What is just? God. What is pure? God. What is lovely? God. What is of good report, virtue, praiseworthy? God. Our Heavenly Father, our Savior, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, those things are good, noble, pure, lovely, beautiful. These things you concentrate on. You're going to meditate on things. Don't meditate on all your problems. Meditate on God. Focus. Do an inventory of your mind and heart of how good God is and what you have in Christ. Concentrate on that. Philippians 4:9. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. What is Paul saying? Same thing James said in James chapter 1, verse 22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Just because you may know this, that's not enough. Knowledge can puff up or it can humble. Learn this. But go past just learning it. Apply it. Do it. Live it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Philippians 4:9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Follow the example of Paul. And the God of peace will be with you. So here's some good advice from Paul. Go on. There you go. Stand fast. That's what we started this chapter out with. Meditate on what is good. Focus on God. Always look to God. See God for who He is. Don't let the troubles, don't let the darkness, don't let the anxiety, whatever's happening, don't let it blind you to who God is. Remember always. Focus on who He is. Let the peace of God in. Let the peace of God reign. Don't succumb to fear and anxiety. Don't let them win. Turn to God in prayer with thanksgiving. Focus, redirect your focus on God, and He'll put you upon the rock that is higher. Gentleness to all men. Let us show Christ. Let us show mercy. Let us show forgiveness. Let us be welcoming. Labor in the gospel. Share the gospel. Let's be of the same mind in here. Don't let division, don't let self get in the way here. Rejoice. God is on the throne. I don't know about you, but that calms my soul. Be anxious for nothing. My Heavenly Father owns it all. My Heavenly Father knows what I need. My Heavenly Father has promised good to me. That's all I need. I can trust Him. He's proven Himself time and time again. You can trust Him. Let's keep God as our vision. Come on up, team. We will sing our last song. Some good advice from Paul. Basically, summing it up, let God be our vision each day. Seek Him, remember who He is. And then everything else will fall into place. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this good advice from Paul. It was good advice then, and it's still good advice now. I ask You to help us to take this advice. It's easy to speak, a little harder to apply, but it is possible. We can do this. I ask You to help us as a church. We know where to stand fast. We see the terrible agendas out there. We see that flood of darkness and sin sweeping humanity into judgment. And here You have placed us. And it can be overwhelming if we focus too much on the flood and we forget to see who You are, who our commanding officer is, who our captain is. And as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, Lord, we will make our stand. But help us always to remember who we stand for, that You have come before us, You have overcome this world, and You sit upon Your throne. And when we remember who You are and we are thankful for all that You have done, we'll be able to stand even stronger in this flood and help people find You. So I ask You to help us to do that. Let us keep You as our vision always, day in and day out. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Let's sing one more song. All right, a few things real quick before we break into the holiday weekend, rest of it. Don't make Isaiah feel bad when he comes back next week. All right? I know you'll miss my voice up there. But also, Gordon, let me know, and I don't want anyone telling Bud and Pat when they get back that I called them old machines. I meant the air conditioners were old machines, and they were maintaining. That's what I meant to say. So don't run to them and say, yeah, Pastor said, you guys are old machines, but you keep going. I didn't mean that. Okay? So let's just make that clear. All right. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. Glad that we could focus on God for a while. And now we're going to break. And we're going to go out in the playing field of the world. But we're still together in spirit. And God is at your hand wherever you go. So we're out there. Let's go be salt and light. We're His team. We're the King's team. Let's go play for our King. Let's break out of here on the count of three. One, two, three. Great. Let's go.